We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Kuznetsov on bodies, they score! Stefan Nason out in front.
Oh, DeBrus shooting, scores!
Backdoor, score! Verhaeghe off the feed from Tkachuk. Tape to tape, Panthers have a lead.
Easy played it back, out in front, they score!
And now it's a foot for Lowry to the net, where he scores!
After reviewing the play at 16:29, the puck completely crossed the goal line.
There's another chance to score! The Kevin Joshua!
Welcome into Sabres Live. Six games in the books so far. The home team has won every single game of these Stanley Cup playoffs so far, and there are four more tonight. With Marty, I'm Brian. Big Amerks weekend as well. They got 3 out of 4 points, which left them 1 point shy of winning the North Division. It was that close, but a phenomenal run to close out the regular season. The playoffs start for the Amerks on Friday. Can't wait to dive in to that. Marty, the takeaway, and maybe let's just blast through based on, the intensity that we expected in the Battle of Florida, as you and Shayna have dubbed it. I'll call it the Sunshine Series.
I like sunshine. I like sunshine. I like sunshine.
We had sunshine today. It's a good start to the week. And let's dive in. Florida, Tampa. What's your takeaway after one?
Oh, my takeaway was... It was intense from the start. It was a good game. Like I feel like that series is going seven, and it didn't disappoint me in game one, despite the fact it was an empty net goal, made it 3-1, and then Stamkos scored late. Like Tampa
so what does that
had
tell
a
you
chance.
About empty netters.
Empty netters actually gets you game winning goals.
Thank you.
Like it's like a weird one because both goalies gave up two goals, and Vasilevskiy ends up getting the loss, but. Tampa had a chance at the end there. Goalie pulled. Stamkos had a huge one-timer at 2-1. Bobrovsky made the save. Don't know if it would have hit the net. Looked like it was missing the net. But this is a tightly contested game. And John Cooper said, we didn't play good for 10, 15 minutes. We got everything we wanted to do in 45 minutes. Didn't do it in 60, though. So the intensity was there. But it's going to be one goal games like this the whole series.
Carter Verhaeghe, unreal, just adds to his Panthers legacy, 16 playoff goals, and obviously Sam Reinhardt was able to continue his career year as well. He has 58 total goals on the season. That series will resume on Tuesday. As far as the Capitals and the Battle of the Lindgrens, as far as the Rangers and Washington are concerned, am I wrong to think that it was just a little meh from the Capitals in game one, or is it just kind of what the Rangers can do to you? And let's not forget, the Rangers are President's Trophy winners this year.
Okay, so is a 1.5 expected goals from the Washington Capitals just meh? Yeah, it's meh, but that's the Capitals. They don't have a lot of offense, right? Spencer Carberry said after the game, we don't score a lot of goals, and we allowed the Rangers to get, you know, get the lead and get up in the game. What was it, 3-0? So, yeah, that's not going to be good. And they allowed the Rangers' fourth line to get two of those goals. It started with Matt Rampe. Panarin gets one right after that, and then it was Jimmy Vesey, but that's the fourth line. And, I mean, we talked about Owen Power when he scored his first goal the season before this pass, and then it was floodgates. That felt like floodgates for the New York Rangers. As soon as they got one, they got two, they got three, and they had the game under control. So, yeah, you can't allow the Rangers to beat you with their fourth line, but that's really what happened in this game.
Well, the Panarin goal wasn't Lindgren's finest hour either, though.
No, he just whiffed on it.
Yeah.
Which was the weirdest thing, but he can't say that he was the issue. Look, Ovechkin, no shots on goal. You know, the Washington Capitals power play not really getting anything done. And they just were slow. The Washington Capitals were slow in this game, and it resulted in Kreider getting a breakaway. It was almost like a full ice breakaway. He took off skating in a straight line, and nobody saw him, and nobody picked him up. Mm-hmm. It was, yeah, Washington was very meh in this game.
Four times in 148 playoff games, Ovechkin has been held without a shot. I didn't, I couldn't believe it when I, there was a, I want to say it was power play. Regardless, it came to him about, I don't know, 10 to 12 feet on the doorstep, and he didn't shoot, and he passed it back across. And I'm like, this is not the Ovi I would expect.
Did somebody let him know that he didn't have a shot on goal at that point? Like, it's one of those where you walk in with the sheet in between the second and the third, and you're like, okay,
I know.
Like, we got guys here that have zero shots on goal. Let's go. And I think Ovi would have felt like, well, that's me, right? But he didn't.
Well, and obviously we'll talk more about the Amerks later, but Yuri Kulik had been on such a run with 8 goals in his previous 8 games prior to the last two where he got blanked. But a big part of that 8 games was he had 40 shots on goal over the 8 games.
Yeah.
Like, it was amazing, and that's exactly what you want, right? So again, more on that story with Rochester as they open up the playoffs with Syracuse this weekend, Friday and Sunday at Blue Cross Arena. Okay, as far as the late games yesterday were concerned,
yes,
you must have had a deja vu, right? Little bit. Game one
of the Buffalo, Ottawa series?
Ottawa.
Yeah, oh yeah.
7-6, baby. You can't, like, if, I know, we're biased because of the market we're in, but to me, it's hard not to think about that game whenever you get a score that replicates it. And I know it didn't go goal for goal the same kind of way that that one did, but holy cow, Winnipeg and Colorado, what a start. Obviously, the Avalanche are without Jonathan Drouin, you know, for this series, but the quote of the playoffs so far, and look, there was a scenario here that wasn't to the Avalanche's favor, and that was they didn't have a healthy backup as Anonen was ill. But Jared Bednar says after, yeah, goalie probably needed to be better, right? So what can you do? Like, the only problem is, like, this 7-6 Winnipeg win is on the heels of a very, very, very challenging end to the regular season for Georgiev.
Yeah. Now, listen, when every announcer last night in that game was like, never seen a game one like this before. And all I kept thinking is we had that, but it's short memory, right? And you're like, this was crazy.
It's called recency bias, but do your homework. Now,
well, I know, but the last time
ESPN
this has happened,
or was it someone else? Because
that was
Dave Levy, who I love down the stretch, was talking one night about, oh, I can't remember playoff races this close.
I know.
Like, oh my God, it's every year, man. Yeah, like, seriously.
I get it. And it was ESPN yesterday. But like the last time a regulation game one ended 7-6 was in 1985. So that's a long time ago. I know ours was 7-6 game one in 2006, but that was in the overtime too. But
yeah, one minute worth.
Yeah, I know. But similar situation. Who's the better goalie in Winnipeg, Colorado? Connor Hellebuck. There's no debating. He's the better goalie. Who was the better goalie in Buffalo, Ottawa back then? It was Ryan Miller, right? Who was the one that, you know, and then we ended up winning 7-6. Georgiev really struggled in that game. When the Winnipeg Jets made it 4-3, 2-on-1 goal, I think it was Lowry came down 2-on-1, boom, 5-0, right? It was, oh, you got to pull him there. I didn't realize at that point that Anunin was ill and not backing up. They had a guy by the name of Arvid Holm. He was in the ECHL with Utah this year and also Colorado Eagles in the American Hockey League. He actually was with the Manitoba Moose the last 2 years. So he knows the organization really well and, mm-hmm. and with the Jets, but he wasn't going to go in. And it really ended up the game. At the end of the day, you could say, okay, Winnipeg played better. You know, well, not really. Like, they're 2.5 goals expected. They ended up scoring 7. So they were opportunistic. They finished their chances. But the Lowry shot that went off the post, off the other post, and then again off the post and out, that the puck literally crossed the line by a quarter of an inch, and that's because it was on edge. Mm-hmm. It actually went left post, right post, over the line on edge, but caught, like, and spun back like a golf ball when you spin it on the green.
Lacrosse ball, too.
Was that?
I said a lacrosse ball as well.
A lacrosse, too. Like, yeah, a lacrosse ball. Like, you can play the spin. It actually ended up, like, turning the game there because that made it 6-3. And the game ends up 7-6. Yeah, Casey Milstead gets a goal late. But it's still a 7-6 game, and every goal matters. So, yeah, that goal was a big part of the game.
Yeah, the conclusion to the season for Georgiev has had 4 against, 6 against, 6 against, 2 against, 4 against, 4 against, and now 7. And of course, like, nothing really matters in life, like, because what's next is all, like, it's not predetermined. But the Jets are giving you a pretty good reference point of how good they've been against Colorado. I mean, they went in and threw up a 7 on them in their second to last home game for the Avalanche, and it was a 7-0 win, which allowed them to sweep the season series. And clearly they have had Georgiev's number, as his goals against is at 6.5 for the year against Winnipeg. So I don't know. I mean, this is, look, the Avalanche have a lot of wonderful storylines as well, and more than enough capability offensively to get this thing done. But at what point do you think, you know, if Anunin is not over his illness, how much of an issue is this for the guys playing in front of Georgiev?
It is a big issue because, look, Georgiev led the league in wins this year when it comes to goaltending. 2 years in a row. But, they clearly don't have the confidence in him right now because of the – you hear the sound bites and, you know, everybody – they're showing the backup goaltender on the bench and you're like – they're stuck right now. They're stuck with Georgiev. And Anunin actually had a really solid season.
Yes.
Despite the fact that me, myself included, were like, Colorado needs a better backup. Why? It wasn't because of Anunin's play. It was more because Georgiev is starting to fall. It started halfway in the season. His curve started to go down slowly, slowly, and it finished bad. So, but right now, you look at Colorado. Nichushkin had a goal that was great, right? McKinnon had a goal. Middlestad had a goal. Luke Lekkonen had a goal. Like, they got goals by the Makar, by the guys that you would think, where Winnipeg got goals by Lowry and Niederreiter and whatnot. Like, they got other players to join in to the play where Colorado is really top-heavy right now. And if, you know, if you get 6 goals with that top-heavy roster and you don't win, you're starting to ask yourself some questions.
Well, I think the Jets' top heaviness came through. I mean, Connor and Scheifele had 3 points. Morrissey had 2. He had 7 guys with 2 points or more. I know it's obvious you're trying to avoid the question, how good are the Jets? Because you don't like talking about them. But, I mean, they have the balance in place. Vilardi has come back from the last injury very productive. And, you know, are they not poised to win here this series?
I picked them to win, and one of the things that I was very surprised is that this is what was the one series that the oddmakers and the standings weren't matching. Like, the oddmakers picked everybody that was above in the standings to win this series, right? Mm-hmm. Like, to have a better, better odds. This one had Colorado with the better odds of winning the series when you look at the odd makers, despite the fact they finished third, Winnipeg finished second, and they were going to start in Winnipeg. But I picked the Winnipeg Jets to win that series. And look, I mean, who gets you the 1-1 goal? It's Namestnikov with Iafallo. Iafallo, great stick, right? Cuts that pass. Namestnikov walks in. Boom. Was it the 1-1 goal? Maybe it was the 2-1 goal at that point. Yeah, because Morrissey got made it 1-1. It was 2-1. It was that puck was laying in the slot. Nemestikov came in and just hammered it. And you can't blame Georgiev for that one, but it's Nemestikov. I follow. This is your fourth line. These are good players that you have playing on your fourth line.
Right. And Toffoli had a couple of shots in the game, but was not productive point-wise. But he's not to be forgotten in the ability for this Winnipeg team here with more than 30 goals. But that response from the Jets was massive, you would think. Not that two-goal leads don't disappear frequently, but Colorado was running up the shot total at that point, and the Jets needed an answer. They got it, and, you know, maybe a few more times during the playoffs I'll talk about how much I love Josh Morrissey. But, you know, like, it's just they are – and I don't mind the odds makers actually picking Colorado, because I think, you know, from the start of the year and in any previous year over the last four, really, like, they're – and with what they added and with their, again, they lost Drouin. I know he had a really, really good year and it does kind of mess things up a bit, but based on some of the other guys that they didn't have during the year and they have them now, I don't really want to look at the Avalanche as, you know, a depleted roster at this point in time. By the way, another tip of the cap to Cale Makar. Did you see his latest milestone, if you will? Kind of a
No, I did not see the specific milestone.
Third fastest to 50 assists in NHL history among defensemen. You know the two ahead of him?
Well, I think Paul Coffey and Bobby Orr.
Bobby Orr.
And
a rival to Coffey during his career that started in the Battle of Alberta.
Al MacInnis?
Yes.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Wild, wow. Huh?
Yeah, no, that is wild. Although you have to think that, again, the 80s were, you know, offensive
but
galore.
That's now too. But
it
that's
is where, now too, yeah. To a certain level. Not that the 6.5, 7 goals per game, but still, like, the top end guys really get their points, and Cale Makar is getting his points. But again, I think that right now, the reason why Colorado was favored when you look at the odd makers is also it's a money thing, right? Like, where should we put the line so we can get the better balance money-wise? And because if you had put Colorado as the underdog, you're probably getting all these people putting money on Colorado. And if you win, now you're losing a lot of money. Right, so you're trying to balance it out.
Why are you bringing logic into this? When did we introduce that?
Because Vegas doesn't lose much money and they always look at it logically. And that's why you have to always, when the odds come out, you have to think of yourself like, ooh, am I way out or is there a reason for this specific odd? And, you know, like Boston against Toronto was about a pick 'em. Boston was minus 120. Toronto's plus 100. In my book, I'm like Boston in five, right? But there's always a chance that,
it could
change. Is
that handy? I can't see it. The book that has Boston.
It's over there. Right. I put it on social media so you can check my picks on social media.
So you're literally an open book now?
I'm an open book. I picked all my first round picks on social media.
Oh. Did you get immediate backlash?
No.
Really? Are you sure it's on social?
Yeah. Well, somebody, the only backlash I got is way to go picking all the favorites. I'm like, yeah, I picked the eight winners are the eight winners that won game. Well, the six winners that won game one. Right. And tonight, it's,
Don't get there tonight. We're not there.
No, I know, but I've got the two tonight, right? So I went 6-0 in the first games.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's put a bow on the opening weekend with, I don't know, one word for Nashville, Vancouver.
One word for Nashville, Vancouver.
Can't be a name of a player. It has to be a descriptive word.
I'm going to say, I can't say a name of a player because I wanted to say a name of a certain player. I'm going to say.
Expected?
Expected, yes. But I want to. I want to say something and I'm like, I can't find the right word. I'm going to say grind and grit and mixed with skill. Like, so I know who I want to talk about. And I know is one of your favorite player this year on the Vancouver Canucks is Dakota Joshua. So I was going to say Dakota Fanning just to get people that way, because just to get like, you know, our game with the bands,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
So I was going to say Dakota Fanning, but it's Dakota Joshua. He got a couple of goals, but that's, to me, that's what Vancouver, that's their key. I know it's Miller and Pettersson and Besser and Monahan now and whatever, right? Not Monahan.
Lindholm.
And Lindholm, I mean, but, it's the depth. It's the guys that, you know, need to just make a difference at the bottom of your lineup that have been the guys all year, in my opinion, that have done it.
Mm-hmm.
Connor Garland. Like, Connor Garland had a fantastic end of the season, I thought. Like, not
20
that
goal
I,
scorer.
Yeah. I'm like, you know, he's not the household name when you look at the Vancouver Canucks, but that's who happened. And I felt somewhat bad because I think Yossi Saros is a fantastic goalie, but that goal was a tough one to give up.
Which one?
The first one, the one to Lindholm. Early in the second, made it 1-1. I thought Nashville got out the first period, 1-0. They're fine, and then it's a tough goal to give up.
But they were still up 2-1 going into the third, and you know, I was actually surprised that their numbers were as good as they were when leading after two. Not that most teams aren't. It's just I felt like Nashville, you know, did have some very loose moments during the course of this year. Fewer, obviously, in the second half. But Dakota Joshua. So the reason his name came up on this show 4 to 6 weeks ago, I'm going to say at least six. It was probably post-trade deadline and looking at, you know, other players that, you know, would become available, right? Like you're always looking at that kind of massaging of the roster from a Sabres standpoint. And okay, well, now you've passed the trade deadline. Like what could happen in the summertime? Who are going to be the unrestricted free agents, especially ones of value, meaning players who are playing, and this didn't have to be the starting point for the conversation, but the fact of the matter is Joshua basically makes the league minimum. He makes just over $800,000. He's an incredibly late bloomer, I guess you could say. He's going to be 28 in the month of May, and this is only his second full season in the NHL. He was actually a four-year teammate of Amherst's leading scorer, Mason Yeops, at Ohio State,
yeah,
at the Ohio State. And now, Marty, between regular season and playoffs, he has played 64 games this year, has 20 goals, and is a pending unrestricted free agent.
And he will be one that will be in demand. I think teams are going
to get
really...
to market. I don't think he will. Will he?
Was that?
Will he get to market?
Well, that, well, if he does, there will be 20 teams lined up for his services. And the only other 10 teams that won't be lined up is because they won't be able to make it work under their cap situation, because everybody would want to be lined up for Dakota Joshua and what he brings. Will he get to market? I doubt it. This is the type of heart and soul player that the Vancouver Canucks really need. And he's proven now. I mean, he proved it in the regular season. And game one, you needed somebody to step up and play that hero card. And, you know, he did that.
I love his goal. Like, it's not
Suter
just a...
scored the tying goal, but it's Dakota Joshua that got the, you know, the game out of reach with an empty netter and the game-winning goal as well.
Yeah, I mean, well, the empty netter in itself was, like, from a confident player. He received the pass within 2 seconds, from his own blue line, shot a dart right down to the middle of the net. But his goal that put them in front, like, yeah, it's a super effective forecheck. It's a corkscrewed Carrier, unable to find his footing and or stick on puck. But when you watch the release point of Joshua and him not just like in a panic firing on goal, this is what I love about it. Like, it's almost got a little fadeaway flair to it to catch the goalie moving from his right to his left. And I'm like, this was really good poise. Like, I know he missed time due to injury, which was derailing this career year, but there are few missteps in his game right now. And again, he's, to me, is the type of player that can just move up and down, especially in a top nine, you know, and obviously the Canucks are blessed with that ability right now.
Yeah, now, you know what was great about that goal? And when you get to the playoffs, Duffer, every team does these like goalie scouting meeting, right? And mm-hmm. and you do that usually a quick 45 seconds before every game. Either you do a quick like video, this is the goalie we're playing, that's his tendencies, or you put a sheet on the wall, players walk by, they read up on it. But when you are in the playoffs, you do a much bigger, better dissecting of the other goaltender's game. Mm-hmm. Look at Toronto, Boston, and we'll get to it because mm-hmm. they play tonight. But, you know, the two goals they scored on Samsonov, low blocker, was basically let him overshoot the lane because he's a very active goaltender, and then go either against the grain or hang on to the puck a little bit, let him get back. That's what Dakota Joshua did on that game-winning goal. He got the puck as a lefty in front, and instead of saying, I got to go to the glove side quick because I got to try to beat Soros quick, that's mm-hmm. a typical, like, Soros is very quick in net. And when you have the puck, if you're able to hang on to the puck for an extra second, he may overshot the lane and you can beat him going against the grain, which he did going back to the blocker side, which is that's what teams do in the playoffs. They do these really deep dive into the pre-scouting, and they give everybody the tools. It tells me hockey sense, hockey IQ, getting that information. That's what he did. He saw an opportunity to go against the grain where most players would have shot in the stomach or on the glove side trying to get it quick on net.
Yeah, completely opposite of the culmination of the 2013 Stanley Cup final when the Hawks had 2 in 17 seconds to derail what Boston thought was a victory and an extension to game 7. But the Hawks rescued not only the game, but stole the cup right out from under their hands. And last night, 2 in 12. So that's the window that people in Vancouver are talking about, the fastest 2 in Canucks playoff history. And it just turned the game on its ear. And I will say this, it was hilarious watching the broadcast in probably like that 6-minute window of time when all of this was happening. And the analyst was asked, you know, what do the Predators need to do? And I'm paraphrasing, but I was thinking the exact same thing. Like, well, it would help if they got the puck. Like, they couldn't they couldn't get the puck at all. And then all
from the middle of the second to the middle of the third, they didn't touch the puck at all.
And then, if you noticed, as is normal in these situations, all of a sudden, with about 7-8 minutes left, Vancouver looked like, uh-oh, how are we going to hold on to this? And Nashville didn't get as much in the way of quality on Demko as they would have liked, but they did look like a team that all of a sudden was like, okay, we can get the puck back here. And so, you know, we'll see.
They got a flurry. It started with a Yossi chance, another Yossi chance. Then it was Evangelista at the back end. It was a good chance. They were like a minute and a half, 2 minutes where they got a flurry. And then after that, it was okay. Let's the Rick talk it. Let's not let that happen. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not going to be how we're going to play this game against the Nashville Predators. And then they stopped the Nashville flatline after that too. They flatlined before, they peaked, they flatlined after.
Was there anything on Demko noteworthy for you?
I thought he was the save on, who was it? And on, Beauvillier, right? Early in the game. It was the save of the game, and it was early in the game. Like, if you give up, I know that they still went down 1-0. Mm-hmm. Eventually, the Vancouver Canucks were down 1-0 to Nashville. But when that pass was made across to Beauvillier and Demko got out to his right side and made that pad save, I thought, that's the Demko that we know Vancouver mm-hmm. can play confident in front of. Like, if that was Casey DeSmith or Shilovs or whatnot, that's a goal. And all of a sudden you're like, we, you know, It probably should have been a goal, but still, Demko will make those saves, let you play with confidence. And that's why him getting a couple of games at the end of the season and now being healthy in the playoffs was really important to get into, you know, some minutes before it really counted.
Vancouver wins that game 4-2 and are up 1-0 in the series in the return to playoff action to Canada's furthest most Western NHL team. And the market was clearly ready for it last night. There are four games tonight, which we'll dive into when we come back, including the beginning of two series. Those ones will happen in Dallas and in Edmonton. And of course, AHL playoffs return to the Flower City this Friday. It's five straight years in the postseason for the Amerks. They draw Syracuse, which looked unlikely when the weekend started based on the fact that the Crunch had been rolling along and were in first place in the division. But now the Amerks have home ice against Syracuse in a rematch of last year's playoff series, and tickets are on sale starting tomorrow at 10 a.m. to the general public. But if you go to amerks.com/playoffs, there is a presale opportunity right now, so you may want to dig into that. I'll tell you this, on Friday, it was something. We had 10,200 at Blue Cross Arena for the regular season home finale, and it was electric, just like it has been the last couple of springs under Seth Appert. So we'll look forward and talk much more about the Amerks and the start of their playoffs when we come back on Sabres Live. Stay with us.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.